The following is a broadcast service of Kentucky Wesleyan College and WKWC 90.3 FM.
Welcome to the Wesleyan Airway, show where we get to talk many, many great topics with wonderful people. Today, I have two of the best KWC representatives in my office, I guess we can call it. Turner Vaughn, who graduated 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, is back. He never left. He's been working the Western Kentucky theater area and doing wonderful job. And I have Professor Nate Gross, who helped mentor Turner in the early years, and now they have become working colleagues. So I'm going to go first. Turner, tell us what you've been doing since graduation.
Yeah, I've done a number of shows, starring as leading roles in things like Something Rotten, as well as Young Frankenstein. And here in Owensboro, I was in Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. But I've also been working on a movie that is actually shot on campus called New Fear's Eve. I'm one of the leads in that, named Brian Storm, and that's really all I've been up to. So, you know,
so I've been seeing, I follow new, what is the kind of, I have to apologize.
New Fear's Eve.
No, that's the movie.
Yeah. But Blood Moon Pictures.
Blood Moon Pictures. I follow Blood Moon Pictures.
Yes.
And so I've been seeing all of these, advertisements for New Fear's Eve. And I kept hoping it was going to come out before last Christmas. Are we actually going to have to wait until next Christmas?
It's a very difficult topic for me to speak about, because I don't know the exact days of when it's
they
exactly
going to be released. No, you show up, do your lines, go away.
No, they don't tell me anything.
That's like my job.
Yeah. But so I don't know exactly when it'll be, but I think that they are shooting for a holiday season release because it is it's a New Year's Eve type movie. So
sure.
I think it's probably going to have a January or December release whenever it finally gets released to the public.
Okay.
Another project that I didn't mention that is actually out right now for you to watch. I was a second AD on it, as well as behind the scenes. For
those who don't know movie lingo, AD.
A second assistant director.
Okay.
Yes. Second assistant director, as well as several other caps, that I wore in that was iSwap from Tinker Tone Pictures. It has actually several students from K-Dub that are actually in it, including Taylor Pollitt.
Were you filming this a couple summers ago?
Not a couple summers ago. Last summer, actually. So
because I think I would see all of you pile into a vehicle.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
drive off to go to the work, and then pile into a vehicle and come back again.
Yeah, that was actually for a different show of you. That was Ghost-O-Matic. That was for Ghost-O-Matic.
And is that out too?
That is out as well. They're all on YouTube under Tinker Tone Pictures.
Okay.
So find them and go like and subscribe, because it's a great channel to follow.
Well, most certainly it is. And I'll be sure to follow that. I have been watching some of the Blood Moon movies over the past couple of years since I've arrived. And I love seeing the background of Owensboro. And
for sure.
And every so often the cameo appearances that show up.
For sure.
And I love seeing the campus in the movies too. So,
oh, yeah.
I remember, I forget, I don't think it was New Fear's Eve. It was one before that.
And, 13 Sleighs of Christmas.
That might have been it. And they wanted to use the campus, and I was brand new.
Yeah.
And Nate was worried I would tell them no. Mm. And so I said, I'll be in it if I get a cameo. And they were actually going to give me one.
Yeah.
But prudently, I thought that would really hurt the movie. So I stepped back, and it went really well.
For sure.
Fun movie. So
for sure.
Professor Nate Gross, what have you been up to?
Yes, sir. Well, quite a bit. Some of the projects that Turner mentioned, I've also been involved in. You know, a lot of the students here,
I'm going to jump back into those in a little bit. So don't rest too easy. So go ahead, Nate.
But lots of things: teaching classes, producing more this year than directing. I was really happy to have Turner back as a director, and another alum in the fall that directed Frankenstein, Jordan Key. So I've been able to work more behind the scenes and produce and make sure they have everything they need and everything's going the right way, which has been nice.
Wonderful.
But I'm acting as well. This summer, a project I'm looking forward to called The Christians by Lucas Nath.
And what is the background of The Christians?
It's about, this is the first time I've talked about it really publicly, but it's about a pastor of a mega church. I actually play the pastor of a mega church.
Okay.
Who... It starts out with this big sermon, and he says, basically says, this congregation no longer believes in hell. So it's a very controversial play in some ways, because that is not too much of a spoiler to say that sort of rips the church apart. That's sort of the inciting incident.
Well, if you don't have the aspect of punishment, nobody has to be good.
That's the big question raised. That's one of them for sure. Yeah, so absolutely.
My wife tells me she wants to put me in hell all the time. So I'll have to tell her that your congregation no longer believes in that.
Yes, this fictitious one. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's
but
wonderful.
Actually, just, I mean, not to go down too much of a tangent, but This American Life just replayed a story about a I didn't realize that the Christians was not fiction. This actually happened. I think it was Carlton Pearson. I might have the name wrong, but this almost exact story happened about a decade ago.
Mm-hmm. And what was the outcome of that? Without giving away the movie, what was the outcome of that, if you can?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the play, it sort of is left up to you, the audience, to fill in.
Okay.
But in real life, from what I heard from the This American Life story, it looks like his church did dwindle down to almost nothing, but then did get rebuilt back up.
Different people
with
coming
different
through.
People. Yeah.
You'd almost have to rebuild everything, right? It's a whole different thought process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting.
It's really well written.
Great. Yeah. Well, before I get into new projects, I want to go back to your movies a little bit. And the iSwap, you said?
Yes.
What is the theme of that?
So iSwap is, it's about this, it's basically, it takes place in this basement. It's like a party type thing. And with iSwap, they actually, it's two different devices that kind of look like futuristic glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them on to two different people and they switch minds. Oh. And they cannot switch back from into their other bodies until at least 3 hours. So we see, it's a bit of a swap party is what they call it, where everybody's spinning the bottle and then they're swapping bodies with whoever they land on. and then it also deals with finding yourself in identity of through the body of someone else, you know? So it's a very touching story. And Shane Devon directed it and it was and wrote it as well. And it is a very beautiful story. And it's now out on YouTube. It came out like literally 3 days ago. So like it's
very wonderful.
Yeah. So
how many movies do you have under your belt now?
Oh, geez. Let's see. I would say probably close to 10 to 13 projects, somewhere around there. One of my biggest things that I worked on, I actually, funny story about that. I was working on a project with Nicole Kidman. I was just background, mm-hmm. but I stood like 5 feet away from her in this one movie.
Now she's close to 6 feet.
Yeah.
So she's very tall.
Yeah, she's very tall.
Okay.
I was like really close to her and I'm pretty sure you can see me on camera and right next to her. But it was really cool because I was on set for 3 days in Clarksville and we were filming this one sequence over and over for 3 days. And then immediately after, I drove all the way back to Owensboro to make it just in time for the Kentucky Wesleyan Theater Awards show. And that's when I made this big grand entrance on accident because I hear Nate say, Turner is directing the show next year. You know, he can't make it. And I was like, look, I can't just waltz in there. So I go and I yell, or can he? And I walk through the side doors and everybody just erupts.
I had no idea. I had no pre-warning.
Nobody, that is great.
Nobody knew, great. But you know, and so, but yeah, no, I mean, I try to get at least 3 to 4 film projects, going at least every year. But you know, I can't.
And always. Are most of them with local companies?
Yeah, most of them have been local. There's been a couple times where I've driven a little bit to go and be a part of something, but it doesn't really happen typically often.
Now, I've been here for 4.5 years, and I'd heard about Blood Moon.
Yes.
And I'd heard some really good things at that time. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me, and maybe it's just the exposure I'm getting to you folks, mm-hmm. that because you're all very active within that area, but it seems to me that the theater production in Owensboro itself is really ramping up and becoming a much better known entity than it was even 5 years ago.
Yes. We've got several projects that are being noticed by like bigger eyes, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in iSwap, we have Emma Bellamy, who's very famous from The Strangers Pray at Night, a 2018 horror movie that came out. And she has a massive following and she's kind of bring a lot of views to iSwap because of her following. And then we also have some other big names, like, for example, with New Fear's Eve, Jeffrey Reddick, who is the writer for both the first and second Final Destination.
I remember reading about that, yes.
And then we've got a couple other big names in that as well. But, you know, just the fact that Owensboro is getting on the map even further than just Johnny Depp's hometown, you know.
Well,
You know,
who were the other people in New Year's Eve? It was Sergeant Duffy from Scary Movie.
Yeah,
really? Yeah. I can't remember his actual name.
No, I just lost it. Matthew.
And Felicity Huffman is that her name?
Felicity Rose.
Okay, Felissa
Rose.
Thank you.
And it is also, I'm blanking on the names right now.
I put you on the spot.
But that's why I was trying not to say them.
Arquette wasn't Sergeant Duffy Arquette?
That could be.
He was in the.
That might have been his character name.
It was like in the Scary Movie. He played Doofy. That was his name.
That's okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm in a pronunciation hole here.
All those big actors came to town and actually stayed here a couple nights to film their stuff. So, they got to see, the prime of Owensboro.
It was interesting to see sort of some of the workings, which, I've seen some of that, but I got to see more with this one. I had a very small role in New Year's Eve. I was a cop for a scene, but,
did you live?
I can't spoil
it. Oh, you can't spoil it.
I was too minor of a character to actually die, so I'll spoil it.
Did you blow the whistle at Frosty the Snowman as it comes through?
That's my next project. I'm holding out for that one.
All right.
They brought in these three actors that were more names. It helped them raise money for the movie.
You bet.
And then
that secondary exposure is huge.
Yeah. And then the time they really had to schedule. They shot all those actors' scenes right away. And then Turner and a couple of other local actors actually had larger roles, and they spent a couple months shooting their stuff.
Sure.
But
I was shooting. Not every weekend, but I'd probably say maybe 1 to 2 weekends every month for like 7 months. Sometimes it'd be a late night Friday call and you might not leave till 4, it just depends on what the scene that they need. And, my character gets to run around downtown a lot. So that was cool to do late at night and,
Well, that's really interesting, and that's great. And when you came to Kentucky Wesleyan College, did you plan on being theater? And
yes,
you did. Okay.
I always knew that I was going to be an actor. I watched the original A New Hope Star Wars when I was probably 4 or 5, and I said I had the VHS, so it was the special editions of them, which I know people have opinions on those. But what they would do is they'd start off with some behind the scenes footage of how they shot certain things or how they put the CGI, the computer generated images of like the aliens walking across and all this stuff, and I just found it all fascinating, and I knew that I wanted to be able to be a part of that world, this fictional world that's just so larger than life. And so I knew I wanted to be an actor then. And so I basically went on to say, yeah, I'm going to be an actor and all this. And then I auditioned and I did this one show. It was Jungle Book Kids. And I played Mowgli, and in my first couple minutes on stage, I lost my lines. It was 3 minutes of silence, and I walked off stage, and I swore that I would never do live theater again, only for a pretty girl 2 years later to say, hey, let's do this show. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Good for her getting you back into the theater.
For sure. I've always known it's just made the most sense to me. So,
well, let me ask you both, either of you can answer, but you talked about CGI, you talked about behind the scenes, what goes on with the movie. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you really only in plays for the most part. And you're right. You're live. You're up there. There is no green screen. There is no retake. There is nothing. What do you like about both? What do you dislike about both?
Yeah. Do you want to start or
I've done more theater than I have film or television.
And I'm the same way.
Okay.
I get more, and I don't know, you may have a similar answer or not, but I like the live feedback of an audience. So I really prefer that. Sometimes you get a little bit of live feedback on a set. If it's a comedy, you get some of them laughing,
Sure.
But the live feedback of an audience and just usually the size of the role too, at least what I've done, even a larger role like what Turner did, you shoot it, in bits and pieces over many days, where just one night where you can just really get into it and put everything out there. I prefer live probably better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm probably in that same boat, honestly, with live theater, because there's just something about the energy of the room, you know, with that, it goes with that feedback, but it also, I see theater now more as a conversation rather, you know, the starting of the conversation is the audience coming in, but then the second, the dialogue switches is when the characters on stage start talking and doing their magic.
Sure.
But then when the audience applauds or laughs, that's when the conversation starts back and forth. And, you know, if you look at it in that sort of way, it kind of changes your whole perspective on, just what exactly theater is and, you know, and just how magical it is. Now, that's not to say I don't like, I do love also film as well, because I think there's something really magic about being on a set. Mm-hmm. Especially like when it's got crew people and, you know, you're on haze, you know, and all this stuff just to make everything more magical. Like you wouldn't think about it, but there's a lot of times in shots where they have a little bit of haze because it adds to the effect of the whole scenery. Right. And it's just little things like that you don't think about. And you know, just the fact that they've got all these different roles coming together just to shoot this thing, probably a weekend or whatever. And then it goes off and you see magic made when it finally comes out. So,
well, I was going to ask about that too, because I don't know much about movies. I just like to watch them, but, Jaws always fascinated me because Richard Dreyfuss said that when they were trying to get him to go around and talk about Jaws, he didn't want to because the shooting on the set looked so haphazard and the equipment live was so bad that he thought it could almost destroy his career. And as an actor, he said he never got to see the magic, so to speak, until he saw the run through the movie and realized what a genius they were putting that together. And you were talking about, Nate, you had mentioned about Turner filming over 2-3 months and you do these little snippets, and I would think you have to get to the end of the movie before seeing it and wondering, how is this coming together? You know, I think about it as teaching a course. If you just sort of grab something here, there, and every, and then at the end you kind of meld it, that's a lot of confusion. How do you work through that confusion?
Well, I mean, I was given like a full script of the entire thing, so I got to actually read through, but you're not always lucky to get that part of the script, like the full script, right? So I was able to see the beginning, middle, and end, where some people are like, hey, these are the scenes you're doing, this is all we're going to tell you, you know? I could really see it come together, because I also was on set even sometimes when they didn't call me, because I was like, I want to be here. I want to watch this.
Sure.
I want to learn, because, it's just one of those things where like being on set and in the experience of like seeing how things are done, you actually pick up a lot more than you think. You know, anybody that goes to a basketball game, if you don't know how to play basketball, you watch the game enough, you'll understand how to play.
Sure.
You know,
I just want to add real quick. Sorry to interrupt you,
please.
But, Turner was like that with play rehearsal as well. You know, he would have, it was funny though, because a lot of actors would like a night off, and he was often in a very large role and have to be there almost every night. But every once in a while, I could give him a night off and he would show up anyway. I just want to be here. I don't know what to do.
If you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, and, that actually reminds me, in Guys and Dolls, there was a whole night where they were just going to work the girl parts, and I showed up anyway, cause I was like, I'm here. And they're like, you don't have to be. I think I left about probably 30 minutes into it, but I did still show up. So, you know,
like you said, though, it is a learning experience, and you're still very young. You're still learning. And I think even people who've been acting for decades can still pick up little tidbits here and there, right?
Yeah.
Every it would seem to me every night on set or every day on set is a different experience, and you never know what may or may not happen. I have to ask now, when you're doing a movie, I see during a play, you see it coming through and you get into character and you kind of know what is supposed to be your mood, what is not. In a movie, how do you get yourself into a character, especially when if you're doing just a small aspect of it, how do you cry on cue or laugh? Well, laughing's a little easier, I suppose, but maybe that's just my personality. But how do you put yourself into that mood?
So it's part of it's a kind of rehearsal to an extent. But you know, I've been on some sets where they don't do really any rehearsal at all, and I'm very much a rehearsal type person. So like when I was doing a lot of the rehearsals for A New Fear's Eve, I would be home and I would be saying my lines. lines, and I'd probably say them probably seven different ways. Like, you know, probably I'm saying seven, but it's probably more like 20 or so different ways. Because you have to figure out what exactly is the emotion and what you're trying to convey through that scene. Because some people are like, oh, you're just going and you're crying because your dad's dead or something. That doesn't actually happen. That's not a spoiler or anything. That's just an example, but you know, but it's, there's more layers to it than that. Right. And you have to really be able to peel back those layers as though it's an onion, because there are so many aspects to not only the filmography that's going on, but behind the characters and the interactions and the plot, and what exactly, like, you have to ask yourself, okay, what does this do for the plot? What are we trying to get from point A to point B? Like, what's the motivation map here? And, you know, asking yourself those types of questions can really help you figure out what is the best course of action for you to move forward with your character, with your lines, with who your rehearsal partners were with, you know, all sorts of stuff.
And do you have a bit of freedom in how that works? I'm thinking about this is a show I never watched much, but I do remember they had a reunion and they were talking about their characters as friends.
Yes.
And is it Joey?
Joey. Yes.
So he said that his character originally was supposed to be somewhat mean spirited and he tried it and he said it didn't fit him. And so he changed the character and they allowed for him to do that. Mm. Thankfully for them, because it was a really big hit. But do you get that freedom to kind of play a little bit into making sure that the character has to be you and you have to be that character?
For sure. For sure. You know, sometimes you do sometimes get freedoms. Sometimes you don't, but,
it often depends on the director.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It really depends on the director. But I think, you know, the way that I've kind of approached my characters, like on stage and on film, is I have to think that a piece of them are me, and I have to really focus on that piece. Like, for example, for Sweeney Todd, you know, I lived some of my life with depression and all that. So I really dove into that aspect and that anger that I had built up. And I just was able to really, portray it and show it on stage, not actually being fully angry or depressed during that. But you know, it was kind of a learning curve of, you know, understanding that at the core of your character is you, because you're given your costume, you're given the character's name, you're given them their backstory. But what's at the core of all that after all those layers? You.
It's your interpretation of what it has to be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask, this is for both of you as well. It would seem to me, and we've heard of actors and actresses who have taken on very difficult roles and could not shut them off. And have you found yourselves ever leaving the set, leaving the theater, and just not being able to jump out of that character, and especially in a difficult role? And I don't want to take you in somewhere dark. If you don't want to talk about that, don't. But it would.
My opinion on that, I have not struggled with that.
Okay.
You know, I have heard of people who have, and I can certainly get fully into it. And I love what Turner just said about using yourself. And I believe in that fully. But I mean, my opinion, and it might sound somewhat judgmental, is that, I mean, there's bigger problems if you can't shake a role. Okay. You know, there's mental health problems everywhere. And, you know, a lot of people, including actors, suffer from those. But I think for me, it's been not hard to drop a role. Okay. It takes a while to get into it, but when it's done,
you're done.
Yeah.
You're back to being Professor Nate Gross.
Yes.
Wonderful. Turner?
For me, I've never really had necessarily a problem with like getting out of a role. In fact, I kind of do like this deep cleanse type thing where there's only been a couple soundtracks that I've ever listened to, or like went back and fully listened through the entire thing, where once I got done with the character, because once you're working on it for like 3 to 4 to 5 months of singing the songs, listening to every song, listening to every cue, you know, it kind of gets really like, ugh, this is disgusting now. It's like too much of it, right? And there's only been a couple times where I have actually went back and listened to the soundtrack still, like, because I kind of missed it, right? And those were like Sweeney and Young Frankenstein. One of the things that kind of stuck around with me with Sweeney was my scary look. So like I often go and I kind of furrow my brows a little bit and have my head down, and I just was you know, I would always just kind of look angry, and I didn't realize that that was my resting face, I'll say. And I sometimes I'm like, what's wrong? And like people come up to me like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, what's wrong? Like, I'm totally fine. It's good to see you guys. Like, you know,
small babies crying, things of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's been the biggest thing that I had a hard time breaking, but you know, so yeah.
And I can see that. That makes it becomes part of your mannerism.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know. I knew I was 5'8", 5'7" when I got the role. So I was like, I've got to look intimidating somehow. So I'm going to really, really work on that face.
Well, I saw it. You did very well. Well, thank you. It was wonderful. So
thank you.
No, I remember, you know, I had Cass Turner in that role and definitely could see it when he auditioned, but it surpassed my hopes and expectations. He really fully embodied that character and I was very happy to see him do that as a senior, as his sort of culminating project as a student. Mm-hmm. So he did amazing with that. I did, though, want to touch on something you brought up earlier.
Most certainly.
Just how you've seen the theater community and the theater options grow in this town mm-hmm. in the last 5 years. And I think that's very true. There's more groups doing theater now. And the filmmakers, PJ Starks and Eric Huskinson at Blood Moon Pictures, and then Shane Devon with Tinkertone Pictures. I don't think every town has the quality filmmakers that we have here. And we've even been able to do cross collaborations between film and theater, like the musical Chess we did last year. Mm-hmm. Shane Devon made a couple of montage scenes for us that we used in the show. So it's just been great opportunities, and there's so many groups, Encore Musicals, Greg Greer with Bluegrass Community Theater, and she's at OCTC, and we're collaborating next year on Hamlet. Nice. So the opportunities for collaboration, and I think when you increase the opportunities for performances, then I think quality has also improved. There's more people doing it.
Yes.
It's really been a great time, I think, for the arts in Owensboro.
For sure.
Well, in every place I've lived, especially for the size of the city and everything, the theater here was extremely unexpected and in a very pleasant manner. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting small college level theater, where sometimes you have trouble casting somebody in the right role and it shows. And I haven't. Everything here has been so professional, and using the students, the folks from Owensboro, the movies that have come out. So it's incredible. And I was just wondering how much of it had grown, because I've only seen a small snippet. I've only seen the last 4.5 years. So it's nice to hear that you've seen mm-hmm. a trend as well. And for you to be sticking around Turner to really take advantage of what's being offered.
For sure.
So you have a flyer you brought in.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful flyer. For those of you listening, you'll have to imagine it. It is for the play Disaster. And I looked this up. So this is somewhat of a mockery of the 70s.
Yes.
You're making fun of the 70s?
Kind of. It's more so parodying.
You're gonna have a lot of angry 60 and 70 year olds.
well, I hope not.
but they could take a joke. So tell us a little bit about Disaster.
So yeah, Disaster is a musical that was written by Seth Rudetsky and Jack Plotnick, and it is created by Seth Rudetsky. And the idea of the whole show is that it is parodying. That's
easy
a word
for you to say.
Yeah, disaster movies from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Poseidon's Adventure. That's the one with the snakes.
Airplane, right?
Airplane. Airport. 1975. I mean, all sorts of fantastic movies.
It was a bit of a fatalistic decade.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Both comedy and just drama.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fine line in between.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, this just show has so many different disasters happen. We have earthquakes, sharks, snakes, rats, fire, electrocutions. Falling chandeliers, falling husbands. We got it all, you know what I mean? So, it's raining cats and dogs, and might as well, but we've got
that. And for those who don't know when it is coming up, can you give the dates, please?
It is March 21st through the 24th, 7 o'clock on March 21st through 23rd and 2 o'clock on the 24th.
And songs that people know.
Yes.
So even if you weren't around in the 70s, you're going to know these songs because they keep playing them and they're great songs.
Yeah. And so, does the audience get to sing along if they wish? We won't them if they really want.
We won't. They can sing at their own disclosure. But you know, am I allowed to say some of the titles of the songs? If
I don't think there's anything against that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we got Hooked on a Feeling from Blue Suede.
See, it's already rolling through my head now.
Saturday.
But that mainly from Reservoir Dogs. I apologize.
Yeah. I understand.
Good,
yeah.
Good taste in movies.
We got Saturday Night.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Night.
That'll stick in your head.
Yeah, that will get stuck in your head. What are some other? I'd really like to, I'd really love to see you tonight. I will survive. Yeah.
What did you say a second ago?
I'd really love to see you tonight.
Oh, yeah.
24 or 624.
Yes, that's it.
Sky High. You know, I mean, I
so
can,
everybody's going to know these. Right. Yes. These are some of the most popular songs
for sure.
Oh, yes.
Playing still today.
What's
on
the one
radio
that starts Ooga Chukka.
Oh, that's Hook on a Feeling.
Okay.
Yeah, I love
that one.
I had a Jack Russell and I would play music in my office all the time when I was a faculty member, and that song would come on. And it would start with that ooga chukka, and the dog would go nuts. He would attack the speakers. I would have to skip that part of the song. Yeah, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it would come on. And if you've ever watched the old Saturday morning cartoons of Tasmanian Devil.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That was him. 14 and a half pounds of pure fury. And it just, with that song.
Around,
and then once that ooga chukka part stopped,
he
kind of looked
at
me like, how are we doing?
You know, that's funny.
That's amazing.
It's really fun to see how they justify the lyrics in the songs. I mean, it's a comedy.
Oh, my goodness.
And
the
Ooga Chukka, maybe this is a tiny spoiler, but it's like he's describing a helicopter.
Like,
you know, it comes in like this, Ooga Chukka.
Yeah, the rotors go around three times and then change twice. And like, you know, yeah, so it's good. And but I will say, like, you know, when you think of jukebox musical, you obviously go straight to Mamma Mia, right?
Sure.
This is a jukebox musical, but unlike Mamma Mia and several other jukebox musicals, every single song lyric actually adds forth to the plot.
Okay.
Which doesn't typically happen, right?
No.
So like we start off the whole show with Hot Stuff from Donna Summers, and he's like the good looking guy of the show goes and says, I'm looking for some hot stuff, like talking about how he's wanting to go to this casino and find a pretty lady, you know.
Okay.
And there's all sorts of funny ways that you could actually work around with, I'm looking for hot stuff, and I won't spoil too much on where
you can
find
that. Well, I already have my tickets. I'm going, so I forget which night.
Opening night is what I have down for you.
That's the night then.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Yeah. It's on my calendar. If it's on my calendar, I go.
Oh, I'm sure.
And sometimes when it gets removed, who knows what happens. What are your next 5 years, Turner?
That is a very good question. I am hoping to get an agent here pretty soon.
Okay.
And just kind of go from there. You know, I have been working on Disaster for about a year and a half now. So I've kind of been very involved with that, as well as doing a couple other shows and filming iSwap and the New Year's Eve. So I've been very much so involved in several other things. And now I'm kind of getting to a point where I get a little bit of a break.
Well, it also builds your resume too, though.
For sure. It does.
That early work sets you up to get an agent.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And, you know, I'm really hoping that I can find someplace good and, you know, go off into the great blue wild yonder, you know, and fine.
Well, and unlike the other person you mentioned, whose name I will not bring up again, I hope you don't forget Owensboro.
Yes. No, so, yeah. No, yeah.
Remember us little people when you're out there.
Oh, well, no. I'm expecting a statue by year 2037. I'm just like, you know, I'm kidding.
We'll put it on the new stage. We'll put it on the stage and activity center just for you.
Yeah.
So we got that, your sophomore year?
Say that again?
The activity center, was that your sophomore year?
Might have been.
It was when
Guys and Dolls was our first musical in there. Of any show in there.
I was a junior for that.
Okay.
I think so, because in the fall you were working on Laramie Project, but you did that outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pandemic. So
52
that was,
degrees.
Yeah. But
the play warmed our hearts.
There you go.
Right. Yes.
No, I do remember that was COVID. We were sitting outside.
Yes. And you came on a night that was like a little bit rainy.
Yes.
And
we had
cold.
The hoods up.
Yeah.
And it was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was around that time that we got it. I think it was towards the end of my sophomore year.
Well, we got it in January of 2020, but it was a matter of when it was ready. And I forget how long it took. A long time to get the building ready.
Yeah.
And a lot of volunteer hours, a lot
sure.
of things.
Even when we did Guys and Dolls. Yeah.
You
and I were working in there together a couple times. But no, I think it was spring of 21 was the first musical we did, Guys and Dolls. And, you know, it still wasn't, obviously we still had work to do, but we got it, you know, good enough at that point.
I know we still like, we would like to find a way to be able to expand the stage when we need. And part taking out the risers gave some back depth, but I think we still need to be able to build it out a little bit in the front and go from there. But.
And we did that. I mean, we build things every time we do something. We did that again this time where we built out the stage a little bit. But I agree, you know, we're looking for
something
ways
a little easier than having to put it all together. Turner, when the summer I saw you all posing as clowns climbing into this little car, it was kind of fun. And but you had just graduated and there were four or five others who were close. And have they stayed as interested as you in the movie and theater?
Yes, they actually, they have. Yes, they are. They actually all went and worked again on another Tinkertone Pictures project, which was iSwap. At that time, we were actually filming Ghost-O-Matic over at the Empress Theater. The Empress, right?
We shot some of it here in this building in the Ralph Center. The entrance to it, that one I had a larger role, and I was the teacher. I was kind of the mean teacher. and then there was two students, so the three of us were.
Well, now Turner said you really have to kind of dial in yourself. So if you were playing a mean teacher in the play,
there was a tiny part of me that was the mean teacher.
He was the teacher of it. He was, you know, he added the meanness.
Right, there you go. We'll go with that. But we
good cover.
We filmed all that in the hallway here. And then we opened the door of our smaller theater here.
Yes.
You know, we have the small theater here and the larger one over at the Activity Center, the Jack Wells Activity Center. And then we opened the door and then it's Movie Magic. And then we're in the Empress downtown.
Okay.
And so it's two different theaters.
Yes.
Changing at the door. So.
And what's really funny is there's a little sequence in the movie where at the very beginning of the movie, they walk into from the outside of the Ralph. So you see the outside of the Ralph, but then they walk out and they had went and completely cut down all the trees and everything.
Oh, that's right. We had to clear that out one year. Yeah. Yes.
So we shot part of the movie
with
the trees and part without.
The ghosts took away the trees, you know?
Well, that's a little bit of Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that happens.
Yeah. You know. But so they're still very all involved. In fact, one of them actually just went and had, I think it was her first singing or first first on stage role with Disaster. Sorry, I just forgot the digital directing.
You were giving me the look, and I'm
line,
like, you can't
please.
Be not thinking of Disaster.
No, yeah,
right there.
You know, I've seen them all grow in different ways.
That's great.
They were huge helps on Ghost-O-Matic, and then some of them went on to have speaking roles, and then also help behind the scenes.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Heather because you know she's been the stage manager for a couple of shows and worked behind the scenes. And now she's in the ensemble for Disaster.
Right.
And I know she really wanted to do that. And she got her chance to try, you know, really all aspects of theater and, you know, film. She's worked behind the scenes as well.
Yeah. So she worked the slate, I believe, actually a couple times, for Ghost-O-Matic and maybe,
what is the slate?
The slate is the clapper thing.
Oh, yes.
They,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Helps you edit, right?
Yeah.
Marks the scene.
You bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. And so, you know, that's one thing that's really beautiful about like Owensboro, especially with this theater community and these actors in this community, is there's so many opportunities that for like actors to be either in a film or to be on in a play, you know. And I think that Owensboro is a very much so a special place in doing that, because you can throw a rock and you hit a film, like, you know, it's
Owensboro being a special place, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know the theater district better than do I, but I, from a very neophyte sense, it appears extremely thriving to me. So
for sure.
Well, we are out of time, unfortunately, and this has gone much more quickly than I would have ever thought. I want to thank both of you, and as my guests, I always like to give my guests the last word to our audience. So, what would you tell people who are listening today?
After you.
Come see Disaster. You won't regret it.
Yes. Come see Disaster the musical. And remember that at the core of every day, it is you. So smile, because you're the best you that you can be.
Thank you both. Love to get you on again sometime if you have the time. For those of you listening, take care of each other. And most important of all, take care of yourself. And until next time, goodbye.
The proceeding was a broadcast service of Kentucky Wesleyan College and WKWC. Cannot be reproduced, rebroadcast, or recorded without written permission by the show's host, WKWC, or Kentucky Wesleyan College.